I just felt like it was a little bit of a kick in the balls, to be honest.
It came a lot sooner than I thought that I would be the oldest player on the team.
That's all you got, brother. That's all you got.
The word of the day would have been hyper-realism.
We're bad at soccer, but we're good on a bagel.
Holding the high line with Rabbi and Red, talking the rapids and turning heads, with questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home, thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Colorado Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the High Line. My name is Matt Pollard, and it is Tuesday, June 18th, 2024. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. Diego Rubio had a not-so-vengeful revenge tour over the weekend at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Cole Bassett and Hafa Navajo are cooking, and the Euros is absolutely lit. Albanian fans are breaking spaghetti and throwing it at Italians. An English fan woke up at 4 in the morning inside the stadium after the game. Security, what were you thinking? And Scotland fans are apparently drinking Bavarian cities dry. Oh, and Landon Donovan has the worst haircut of all time. Joining me now, making his Holding the High Line debut with Rabbi off gallivanting still in Southern California, from the Denver Post, Braden Norris.
Hey, Matt, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's been a long time coming, but I'm happy to be on Holding the High Line.
I know, much so. Very much so, Braden. You are the, this is the HTHL equivalent of the Cole Bassett call-up. We probably should have done this 6 months ago. You were probably playing well enough for, no disrespect to your previous outlet, but you were doing a good job with them. And then now the Denver Post has elevated itself. The Colorado Rapids have elevated themselves. And you are in good form, as is Cole Bassett. On that note, Braden, how are you liking the new job? Congratulations on getting on graduated and everything. How are you enjoying adulthood and what you're doing with the Post?
Thank you, first of all. It's been a bit of an adjustment. It's nice to be home back in Aurora. I was born and raised here. I can't remember a time where I didn't live in Aurora, except for the 4 years that I was in college. Fort Collins was getting old. It started to be, the only thing to do was go to Old Town, drink, and then go home. Not my thing. It's other people's thing. That's fine. But with the Post, it's been great. I'm loving it. It's been an honor. I probably don't deserve this opportunity, but I'm taking it and running with it. As far as everything else, it's just nice to be home.
Good stuff. We were talking before we hit the record button. Listeners, I have an absolutely fantastic feature coming up, hopefully by the end of this week, on the Colorado Rapids Special Olympics Unified Team Program. Braden, is there any content that Rapids fans should be looking out for? Is there anything that you've written recently that you'd want to plug on the show?
Just anything?
I read your Tim Howard feature. I liked it. I realized that's, you know, what, a month, 6 weeks ago now, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Tim Howard feature was super fun. I just came out with, I think last Friday, an Adam Beaudry piece, speaking of Rapids goalkeepers. Talked to Chris Sharp. Sharpie is the absolute man. Love talking to him. Adam's a good kid. He had a yellow card in a friendly with the U19s in Argentina. It was for time wasting. I asked him what it was for. It was for time wasting. I thought that was super funny. But he said it was justified in that they were up 1-0. It was getting crazy. He had to take one for the team to let everyone get a minute breather.
Very good stuff. And I'd imagine, given how I've interacted with Adam previously, I think he was very matter of fact and almost blunt about it. He's got a I won't project on his personality or anything. I've yet to see Adam in any of the games that he's been in with Rapids 2 or in Rapids training kind of get that, like, red mist, really, you know, just goalkeeper absolutely incensed at his defender. Maybe he's had really good defense around him. He was on a good Rapids 2 team last year. Maybe I need to go out to Rapids 2 and see him, how he's playing now. But, you know, I just, you know, I know you weren't around him at all in training, Braden, but, like, I would just see, like, a kid would come up from the academy or it'd be one of the bench guys and Tim Howard would just absolutely rip them a new one. I remember I interviewed Sam Vines. This would have been a few years ago. I think this would have been Tim's final year, and I asked him about what it was like being a young defender making mistakes for a USMNT, a Europe, you know, an English, you know, a Premier League legend and everything. And he described it as it's loud criticism and it's to the point and you can't really yell back even if you don't think that it was your fault and everything. So Adam is still finding his voice in that regard, albeit he's found his time wasting his internal goalkeeper clock, I suppose. Brayden, let's get to Euros are going on. You know, I did see that Cristiano Ronaldo in Portugal pulled that out earlier, and then it's been some big wins for some of the favorites, and kind of what I expected from England is I think Gareth Southgate's probably going out in the semifinals. What have you seen from the Euros? What have you liked? What are we looking forward to with the Copa America?
I think you nailed it on the head in the intro. What was it? Albanians, I think, breaking spaghetti in front of Italian fans and Italian fans just being cool with it. I think that was super funny. It doesn't get better than that. A 4-1 victory for Germany in the opener. I think that just set the tone for the whole thing. And it hasn't disappointed so far.
Yeah, it's been super lit. There's been other food banter I've seen as well, Brayden, albeit it's been signage, I think, mostly. So I think there was something involving Switzerland mentioned that as well. So I'm not sure what the, you know, maybe the next time, well, who's coming in? So it would be Montreal coming in. So I think we need like a C38, like two-pole banner that probably reads like green chili and then like the greater than sign and then poutine. Or are we offending? Well, Moise isn't going to be with the team. He's going to be with Canada and Copa America. So we're not offending Moise Bombito in that regard. I think we don't want any Rapids fan to like get into a fight with Moise over French fries or anything. But the other thing as well, Brayden, I care about hair and I care about style. Rabbi does his own awards for the HTHL Stubstack at the end of the year. And he notoriously does. He writes it. He fake does the category of the best fashion of like the guys getting out of their cars and walking in on game day that we've seen increasingly clubs will put out that times of content. You know, Cole Bassett's almost become a parody of himself in that regard. And I think he's living with it, but also like Cole, you're getting stuff that like is two sizes too big for you. And like, you think you're a Sephora model and you kind of look like one, but also you're not. In any case, I hope Cole isn't listening to this. Chris Armas, if you're listening to this, don't tell Cole I said that. But so, Rabbi will jokingly say, Brayden, oh, here's the award for that. And then in the text, you'll actually like, nope, not doing this. I don't care. So I care about this kind of fashion stuff. Brayden, like what bet did Landon Donovan lose? Or like, is there a blood oath that like he owed to his barber or something? Like, I get it. He's had the receding hairline. If he was a basketball player, we all would have bullied him on social media into just shaving it at this point. Like what's going on and can we help this man?
Landon Donovan wanted something. We will never know what he wanted. But in exchange, it was either selling his soul or getting that haircut, and he chose the haircut.
Yeah, maybe this was the soccer gods paying him back for that goal against Algeria in 2010. This is probably that. This is his blood oath or his deal with the devil or anything. Okay,
you have to wonder if one day he just woke up with that haircut. It could not have been a conscious choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, I mean, he does have, I can't remember. I know he has a kid, right? Because he got married after he retired from LA Galaxy. And then I remember the first game that his daughter would have seen him play, I think was just when he was with Leon for that 6-month period playing down in Mexico. So, you know, I could imagine he has a daughter who is old enough at this point to where she could go into the bathroom, find a razor blade, and then decide to give a sleeping parent a haircut. I could imagine that kind of an accident. The fact that we haven't gotten this explanation makes me, again, further suspect. But let's turn on to Copa America, Brayden. Obviously, we're super excited to see what Moise Bombito can do. They're playing this upcoming Thursday. So tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, Rapids fans, and they're going up against Messi. Moise Bombito already has a result against Messi. He's gotten a clean sheet against Kylian Mbappe. I think getting out of the group and not getting embarrassed in the knockout stage would probably be an achievement for Canada, just given where they'd been previously, the group that they're in, and then also the fact that you've got Jesse Marsh, who I do rate as a coach, and he's got lots of good ideas, but they take time, and he has not had time. Brayden, your thoughts on what Moise could do, and what are we thinking about for the U.S.?
if you think that Moise Bonbito's stock is high right now, he has an opportunity to shoot it through the roof with Copa America. I think he's done well with the friendly so far. He's held his own. He had a he contributed to a clean sheet against France, and you can't take that away from him. He's been amazing with the Rapids so far this season. Very sound, able to put out fires, but he also at times prevents fires from happening too. So I think the stock is only rising for him, and I think Copa America is just another great opportunity, and I think he's going to do well with it.
Looking at the U.S. brain, I don't know what to think. You know, that that Colombia game was what it was. We could call it a moral victory. Greg Berhalter's favorite victories, ironically, are moral victories at this point, with what they were able to do against Brazil. I still think this is a talented team. Look, they've got two cupcakes in the group. I was listening to John Arnold from Getting CONCACAF was on to do a preview with Total Soccer Show, and they previewed like team by team breakdown. I might be misremembering the stat, but Bolivia, I don't think has won a competitive game outside of their country since like 2015. And it was the 2015 Copa America. They've won friendlies in South America outside, but they haven't won anything competitive outside of their country. And when they're the highest, you know, elevation country in all of FIFA, you know, I think their base camp for their national stadium is like 9,000 feet. It's understandable that Messi, playing close to sea level for most of his entire club and country career, he's not able to deal with that. So, I mean, is Bolivia going to be more fit than the U.S.? Maybe. Are they going to be able to do anything else? Not really. So for me, it's, can you get out of the Uruguay game not being embarrassed? I'd take a 1-1 draw right now. But you know, if they end up losing 2-0, that's not the end of the world, especially if it's a good performance and the metrics are there. And then at that point, I think, you know, we're still waiting for Berhalter to prove that this group that we think on paper, because of what they do with their club teams and the clubs that they're at, are at a level above what the national team has been previously and is capable of going to go toe-to-toe with an Argentina, a Brazil, an Uruguay, a Netherlands, if we're going back to the World Cup in Qatar. So, you know, I'm still waiting for that to happen. I think for sure they'll get out of the group. For sure they will get a team of that ilk, and we'll see whether or not they can do it. And if they end up not doing, then, you know, we're kicking down this can of will they, won't they, all the way to the 2026, you know, World Cup, at which point, you know, we'll see. Okay, Brayden, let's get into it. This past Saturday, Colorado Rapids 2, Austin FC 0. Diego Rubio's return to Dick's Sporting Goods Park did not lead to happy hunting for the Chilean international. Goal from Cole Bassett in the 22nd minute, set up by Omir Fernandez, and then Rafael Navajo doubling the lead in the 49th. Are we calling that a volley or a half volley, Brayden? Like, if a teammate shoots it, it gets deflected, and then it goes to you, but it doesn't hit the ground after the deflection. Is that a volley or a half volley?
I'm calling it a volley. The half volley, to me, I've always understood it as you're hitting it basically right off the turf. Didn't hit the turf. It's a volley for me.
Okay, so a volley from Rafael Navajo. He scores. Austin, I thought, got into some dangerous areas in transition, more so in the second half than in the first half. Obreon had a absolutely fantastic run to keep a ball in space and then proceeded to cross the ball towards Diego Rubio. And it was about on target as the service Rubio was getting from Jonathan Lewis last year. So, you know, Rubio had, I think it was one shot for 0.01. expected goals, and really it wasn't really his fault. He didn't have any service or help around him. Driussi didn't really help from a pressing standpoint. Every single time Rubio got on the ball, there were one or two Rapids players around him. I was sitting next to Mitchell Carroll from DNVR, because you weren't in the press box on Saturday, Brayden, and we both noticed in the first, I think, 20 minutes, there was a 50-50 with Ronan, which Ronan won. Maxu won a loose ball in the box in which Rubio went to ground, and then I can't remember, Lawless or Cole would have won the other 50-50. But the only thing about Diego Rubio that looked like his old self was him getting subbed off and then immediately just sitting down and being inconsolable and angrily, and then probably yelling at one of his teammates in Spanish post game as well. He didn't get to do any of the Diego Rubio things that we normally would have been associated with him. And given that he was able to start, given that he was 90 minutes fit, given that Sebastian Driussi was ultimately available for this game, even though he had a bit of a groin concern, if we're reading between the line on what Josh Wolf had said leading up to this match in the previous week, and given what the Rapids were expecting from him, they didn't that they completely nullified what he was. And so I thought that's, you know, credit to the Rapids coaching staff. You know, we've seen now there's been, you know, several really good returns to Dick's Sporting Goods Park for former Rapids players. Don Baggi scoring the winner for Cincinnati last year, and they go on to win the Supporters Shield, and the redemption arc that is William Yarbrough as well coming in with San Jose Earthquakes. I almost want to think, Braden, that this was a, like, this was the soccer god saying, like, if you come back and you play against the Rapids, if you treat revenge the disc best not served, we will reward you. And if you come back with all of this negative energy, the dark side of the force has no place here. Braden, what'd you think of Rubio's return? What did you make of it? And ultimately how the Rapids were able to nullify him in that Austin attack?
Well, I think the most notable thing that you said was that Diego Rubio didn't have much of a chance on the ball. One shot for 0.01 expected goals, and that wasn't really his fault. Players around him weren't able to really create for him. And the first thing I thought was, that sounds familiar. But yeah, just the same thing back in the same stadium. I think you're right about the negative energy thing. Maybe he did go after subbing off, yelling at somebody. You never know with Diego. But yeah, I didn't get to watch back the entire game. But yeah, I think the Rapids are not lucky, but I think they're okay with a lack of a Diego Rubio revenge game.
Yeah, they took advantage of a bad team that was playing poorly, I think, and then also nullified the one thing that would have been a game changer for them in that regard. Let's turn on to some of the good things that we saw. Braden, you know, Navajo scoring, Bassett scoring as well. Georgie didn't get on the score sheet at all, but I thought he was really intent on what he was doing from a passing standpoint. And as much as the team had a poor performance going into the international break, Georgie with two goals as well, and I thought he did a lot of really good stuff in possession. And I don't know what it was, Omer Fernandez ate his Wheaties the morning before. Braden, you know, he did so much good work in possession as well. They were feeling themselves and super saucy. What did you like most about the Rapids attack? And you know, you said Cole Bassett had a banger. Which goal was your favorite?
Definitely the Bassett goal. I think when something comes out of the blue like that and it's not really expected, and I give Navajo credit for this too, because that volley is something you probably wouldn't expect. But just, it's what Cole Bassett is. He's a late arriving kind of defensive midfielder guy, at least this season, who can shoot like that and score goals like that. He hasn't scored very many that have not been on the ground this year. So I think it was nice for him to have a Cole banger.
Yeah. I guess the one thing that I'll say about the Navajo goal, Braden, is that to your point about him taking the volley, and that wasn't something that we've seen from him previously with the Rapids, and that also maybe wasn't something we would have expected him to do in that moment. One of the things that stood out for me when I was looking at all of his highlights from playing in Brazil is that he doesn't have like one type of goal that he scores. He does a lot of little things well. Like, he's not a super poacher. He doesn't score bangers. They're not all with his head or anything. You know, if I were to describe, you know, Brian Galvan scored for his Argentinian team this past weekend, what would you have expected him to do? He's doing something in transition. He gets inside position on his fullback, and then he cuts back and curls to the back post on his left foot. That's probably what you would have bet. That was the first goal that he scored with Talleres. He scored, I'd bet that's like at least half of the goals that he scored with the Rapids. That's what they looked like. So Hoffa is showing his versatility. He can score with both feet. He can score with his head, set pieces, transition, possession, random cleaning up a loose ball in the box as well. And so while maybe, you know, for the top levels of players, that's a bit of a concern because he doesn't have one amazing knockout pitch that, you know, when it's, you know, it's a 3-2 count, you know for a fact that you can get a strikeout. But I think it shows his versatility and his quality. And so with that, Braden, that puts him on 10 goals on the season, 6 from the run of play. He's on pace for 24 goal contributions this season. Even if we throw out all of the penalty goals, let's say the Rapids don't get another pen the rest of the season, he's still on pace for 18 goal contributions. It's Diego Rubio, and I think Connor Casey would be the only ones to have more than that. Braden, at what point do we look at this and just say, like, Porik, Fran, Taylor, he's playing so well, he's worth more than $4.5 million. Just pay the $4.5 million option.
That's an interesting question, and one that I didn't expect. People ask me, what do you think, you know, the Rapids will pay for him? Because at this point, it's not a question that he is going to stay with the Rapids. I would be very, very shocked if he didn't stay. But as far as, like, people say, like, oh, $3.5 million or between 3 and 4, maybe 4.25. But what would he have to do to just write the $4.5 million check? I think he'd have to get a hat trick in one of these next couple games without a penalty.
I think he's already done enough at this point. I think he's shown, I think the level that he's reached at recently, like, that's like, this is him achieving David Goss theorem, like leveling out in terms of what his potential is. I think this is the player he is. And so if we prorate that over a 34 game season, a 3 to 4 year contract, I think that's something, you know, that you would absolutely look at. And so I think, Braden, regardless of what we see as the feat, like, I'd have a hard time seeing that that the club is able to get it under $3 million at this point. I think at this point it's within range of what the Rapids will end up paying for Georgi Mihailovic. I've heard some rumblings that there were some performance incentives that could get it closer to four than it was to, I think, the base three that it was based on. But so I couldn't think of a better, given what Porik said about the long-term model the Rapids have, for wanting to go with two DPs and then the four U22 slots. He said that on the DNVR midweek show last week. So listeners, if you still have not gone back to listen to that, I would encourage you to do so. One of the better and more open interviews that Porik has had, openly admitted Lamine Diak, isn't going to come back as well. Braden, I didn't even have this in the rundown, but also Diak was on the bench, which I was super confused by. It's the first time he'd been on the bench since the game at NYCFC, and he was on unused substitution. So I don't... Mm-hmm. I don't know why he's still showing up to training other than to be professional, because then one of us will report that he's not at training, and eventually some nonce, you know, aggregator account is going to tweet that out in French, and then all of the nonce fans are going to lose their minds in any case. So I think Navajo's done enough, and I think absolutely you keep him. I think it's just a matter of negotiating what that number ends up being. And I think at some point, especially if he keeps doing in the three games that he has left between this Wednesday, this Saturday, and then next Saturday, if he continues to do what he's doing, you know, if it's two goals and an assist, Braden, or your hat trick against LAFC, you know, when the Rapids end up winning 3-0 at LAFC for the first time ever, you know, then I think at some point you have to start considering that. But I could not think of a better statement of intent from ownership in terms of how they're funding the team than to break the previous transfer record twice in a calendar year on two DPs, and two DPs who, one being with the club for almost a year and one being with the club with 6 months, like, we're confident are better than anything the Rapids have had previously. Skelshengashi did amazing stuff on the ball and had some amazing moments, but he wasn't as consistent with Georgi is. Both of them have been more goal dangerous than Yunus Nomley ever was. Both of them are healthier than Kevin Doyle ever was. Like, you know, we're looking at, you'd have to go back to Connor Casey. I'd have to look back at, like, was Valderrama a DP? Was that still, were DPs a thing? I'd have to go back into the annals of previous Rapids designated players to try and find somebody who I think is remotely close to either of these two. So breaking your transfer record twice to ultimately get on paper the two best DPs the clubs have had, and to say that two good designated players, absolutely fantastic. Just a few other things that I'll say are good stuff in terms of this game that stood out to me. Braden, Lal Sabubakar, his second straight start. The game against Vancouver before the international break didn't work out, but it wasn't Lawless's fault. And I thought he was excellent. He had a really funny, let me pull up this quote, actually, Braden. We'll edit this. Or maybe I won't. Maybe we'll leave it in. We got Lawless in the post-game media scrum in the mix zone. And so he said this about Diego Rubio. I've been thinking about Diego the whole week. If anybody on Austin would score on Colorado, no Diego or Jossie, please. I know the way Diego plays. You know the way Diego is. I was trying to stay calm we shouldn't react. Whatever we do, we did a good job today. And then he went on to say that, like, the coaching staff and the players who were here last year talked about, and he and Max Sue just kept reminding each other, like, don't let Diego get into your head. So I'd say, if anything, Brayden, I think the Colorado Rapids right now are living rent-free in Diego Rubio's head. And I don't think anybody's thinking about Diego Rubio at this point. Maybe I'm the only one, just because I have sentimental value towards him. So good on Lal Sabubakar to be ready for this opportunity, given that Moise was going to be out. You know, it's going to be at least a couple games. We'll see if Canada gets out of the group and what that would mean for Moise's availability. Or I'd have to look at their group schedule, Brayden, because they play on Thursday against Argentina. I don't believe then they'd be done with the group in time for Moise to be back with LA, back for the LAFC game. And even then, it'd probably be like a 1 or 2 day turnaround. So we're probably looking at Lawless through, you know, until we get to the 4th of July game at the least. And the fact that he's ready for it, great. And Jackson Travis, Brayden, his home debut, his second start with the team. And, you know, he had a good performance in his first start against Vancouver, with the exception of the Sebastian Berhalter goal. And he didn't look out of place in any way. You know, if I told you, if you'd never seen Jackson Travis play, Brayden, and I hadn't told you anything about him, and then I turned to you and say, that's a kid who's played less than 100 minutes in MLS, like, you would be impressed with what he's done. So two guys ready to step up when other two guys weren't ready to go. So overall, just exactly what the doctor ordered, I think, in terms of coming out of the international break. Maybe the only other thing would have been making it 3-0, because I thought that would have been a deserving scoreline. Cole had a really good opportunity, and he kind of ran past the ball and swung and missed. Hoffa, I think, hit the post. Georgie had that audacious shot off of the cheeky corner that Jonathan Lewis set him up to, and he tried to play it first time off the outside of his foot and hit the top of the net. So, you know, Brayden, when the only thing I'm complaining about is that Bassett and Navarro both scored, and they both could have had a brace, you know that it's been a good night. Anything else about this game, Brayden, or shall we move on?
Well, 365 days ago, I don't think those sentences would have came out of your mouth.
No.
And these things are the only things that we're complaining about. On Jackson Travis, I've also been really impressed with him. I agree with what you say about this kid's only had 100 minutes. You would have never guessed that with the way he's played. He's looked comfortable. He's looked strong. He had one lapse of thinking, and who doesn't at from time to time? It turned into a goal. It is what it is. He's moved on, and he's doing well. I can't remember who I asked before the international break, but I asked about the opportunity that Austin presented, or maybe it was this past week at media availability. Doesn't matter. But yeah, I asked what kind of opportunity this gives, at least the Austin game, as far as getting back on a winning path and gaining momentum. And I think that's exactly what they did. And that's a good place to transition into a St. Louis game, where it's a good venue for the home team, but the home team's not very good as of late.
Yeah, so let's come on to it, Brayden. We'll start with the Wednesday game. Today, if you're listening to this, hopefully we are able to get this out. We weren't able to make Monday, where normally Rabbi and I, if it's both of us on the show and there's a Wednesday game, we try to pod Wednesday and I try to get it out that night. So apology for the quick turnaround, listeners. But so this coming Wednesday, Juneteenth, 2024, the Colorado Rapids will be playing at St. Louis City, just their second ever appearance at the City Ground. St. Louis currently in 11th place in the Western Conference, 18 points. Points off of 17 games played. They have an overall record of 3-5-9. They have a goal difference of -4. And at home this season, they are 3-2-4. Brayden, I look at this roster and maybe not as much buzz in terms of what they were doing this past offseason compared to as an expansion team when they're trying to get the roster together. They still have Roman Berkey, who is still a fantastic shot stopper, and I feel pretty confident still has a far superior post-shot X goals to one Zach Steffen. Their big new outside back signing is Totland. I can't remember which Scandinavian country he's from. I don't know if there's an umlaut on the O. It took me a year to get Max Sue's last name right, so I'm not even going to try it on that. Fellow ginger Tim Parker is in the back and a back four, captaining them as center back. Their do-it-all midfielder, maybe a parallel to Cole Bassett, but older and very Eastern European, is Edward Leuven. And then up top, they still have Joao Klaus, who, of course, got hurt in this fixture at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, what, a year, maybe 14 months ago or so. So those are the key players that I look at them, Braden. You know, this is still a team that very much wants to be high pressing. They are Midwestern Red Bulls, as far as I'm concerned. And the key thing is the fitness is still there. I think the tactical shape of what they're doing is still there, but the one big concern, or the big thing that was a talking point for St. Louis all season, was that in both boxes, they just massively outperformed their XG. Roman Berkey has regressed a little bit, but he's still one of the top five shot stoppers in MLS. So, okay, he's not Matt Turner. He's not, can't think of who the other like elite shot stopper would be in the Premier League. Keylor Navas for Costa Rica comes to mind as well. So, you know, Berkey's still very good. He's not elite, or he's certainly not the best. Matt Freese would be my vote for goalkeeper of the year if the season ended today. And then the big thing is that their XG numbers are down, and then also their finishing relative to that is down as well. So, Braden, maybe this is the regression in the mean compared to where they were last year, where Klaus and everybody around him was just outperforming their XG on top of like opponents like woefully like passing the ball straight to them for them to pass it in the net. I am fully expecting a much more compact defense from the Colorado Rapids. It'll be a better performance than this fixture last year. Braden, what have you seen from St. Louis? What do you like about them? What don't you like? What do you see in this game?
I think you're right when it comes to regression from the mean. I mean, teams are going to have ups and downs, and St. Louis is certainly on a down. They're a team that can score at will when they want to. And obviously Roman Berkey, like you said, very, very, very good. What else do I like? The thing that comes to mind, if we're still on the revenge games, we get an Anthony Markanic revenge game.
Oh, I forgot about Anthony. I haven't looked at I don't know that he's been on the
he didn't look play this past Saturday. But he played the past 2 weeks. Yeah, he's missed two games this season. That's it.
Yeah, 13 starts, 1125 minutes played. That's he might be at the left back position then. So I don't think Markanic has the same revenge energy compared to some of the other more veteran players. You know, like on some level, Braden, I think Mark Anthony has to acknowledge, like, the Rapids took a chance on him at a position that they clearly needed, and he did enough to where then now he's a starter on a team that won the Western Conference last year. So I think that's difference when Diego Rubio was there at the team for years and years, and he went through a bunch of suffering, and he was part of the ups, he was part of the downs, and then his contract came up and he still wanted to be there. He wanted he wanted the pay bump, and he didn't necessarily get it. You know, like, if anything, Anthony Markanic is probably grateful that the Rapids got him an opportunity to establish a pedigree and a name and a notoriety within the league, and then also traded him to a much more affordable market as well. I haven't looked at his player salary numbers, but I remember Rabbi and I made a really big deal last year. Rabbi always likes to highlight who's the guy making the least amount of money on the team, and then, like, what does that look like for Denver rent prices? You know, Braden, you just moved in a new place. I can't imagine that it's, you know, particularly good, but, you know, Markanic is making, you know, probably 60K and change. You know, he probably had like three roommates and, you know, was eating some cheap stuff, or, you know, having teammates buy him lunch or whatever. As a former PhD candidate at the Washington University in St. Louis on a graduate student stipend of $28,000 pre-tax living in student housing, I can assure you 60K in St. Louis goes a lot further than it does in Denver. And I'm sure Anthony's probably appreciative of that. But so, good shout, Braden. I'm sure we'll see him. We'll see whether or not he has positive energy. Braden, let's talk about this reverse fixture, because I think it's noteworthy compared to where these teams were last year when they played at this game. So you remember, listeners, the Rapids hosted the first matchup between these two teams, and I think it was a 1-1 draw. The Rapids had like 3xG. Roman Berkey stood on his head, and it was just it was a disappointment. It was 2 points dropped. And then Colorado came out, and Michael Barrios had that opportunity in like the first minute at St. Louis. He ends up not finishing. St. Louis scores a couple minutes later, and then Colorado is just completely siege mentality until like the 70th minute, Braden, when I think when I think both coaches make a line change. And at that point, it was the typical Colorado comes out, huffs and puffs, doesn't do a whole lot. The other team decides to try less because they're up 3-0, and somehow Robin Fraser claims that, oh, well, we drew the second half, so that's somehow a moral victory. But the thing that stands out for me for this game, Brayden, is you'll remember we had one of the interviews that we had with Porrick Smith. He was talking about what he wanted to do in the summer transfer window and there being urgency, and him just saying that not just the result, because it was only a 2-0 loss and the Rapids lost by many more goals in other games last year, but just the performance, the lack of energy, the getting punched in the face with the two goals early and then not really responding. You know, he acknowledged that was the lowest low in the time that he's been at the club. And so if we were to look at that roster as well, you know, there were 11 of the 11 players that started that game. There's only four that are still on the Rapids roster today. So
can I guess those four?
Go for it. Okay.
Cole Bassett, Keegan Rosenberry, Andreas Maxu, and Connor.
Connor Ronan, yes. So those are the four. And so, you know, if you were thinking, like, Cole Bassett has a bad performance in one game, they're not trading him away. Andreas Maxu is a new, you know, center back DP. They're not trading him away. Keegan Rosenberry, eventual captain as well. But so, you know, I look at that game, Brayden. I was going to call you Mark at some point in this episode, but I remember Nicholson just absolutely getting decked on a corner that, like, he didn't even see, almost like a picket fence, like basketball block coming out. And like, he gets up slowly and like the team's trying to start a counterattack and it fizzles out, and Sam would have been there in position to do that. And so I'm not picking on Sam in particularly, all 11 players that started that game were poor in that match for me. But just so to that point, Brayden, I have to wonder, was that an inflection point or a moment of reflection for Porrick where he was like, given what he said now publicly about it, of just like the, we're in trouble, there's no figuring this out, there's no, oh, we just need time in order to get this right, I have to do something in the summer, and there are players who, via that performance compounded with other performances, like, their time at the club is ultimately over. And so I look at that game and I wonder about that, the chance that Barrios had as a starter, Brayden, and we saw that last season he had done so much good stuff in a substitution role, but then didn't do that same stuff as a starter, and he was over the age of 30. So I think there were several inflection points or several moments of realizing that last season was doomed. But I think for Porrick, that was significant, Brayden. And so if we compare to just where the Rapids are right now, I was looking up some numbers as well. Brayden, how many points did the Rapids have in all of last season in MLS play? 34 games, how many points did they have? Where did they finish in the table?
It was 20, no.
You're right. It's 20-something.
27, right?
27. How many points do they have right now, one game over the halfway point?
That's a good question. 30-something.
They have 25 points.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking goals.
Yes. They have, the Rapids have 7 wins so far this season. They had 5 all of last year. And then with the win against Austin, they now have more home wins this season than they did all of last season. They can match last year's road win total with a win over St. Louis tomorrow, Brayden, to get to 3. I'm sorry, they already have more. They have three road wins this season. They had 2 road wins all of last season. The Colorado Rapids already have more points on the road this year than they did all of last year. And so if we juxtapose that with where St. Louis is and maybe them regressing to the mean and the Rapids raising the floor and then also raising their potential ceiling as well, I'll go out and say it, Brayden. I think this team gets a result in this game. I think we see maybe a little bit of squad rotation, or at least a quicker hook from a bench standpoint if it's really needed for that Montreal game. Maybe Calvin Harris gets into this game with what the Rapids would want to do in transition. Maybe they're a little bit more conservative to set up, given that St. Louis is going to willingly let them have the ball at times. But I'm going to take a draw on this one because I think you take an 8-game or a three-game week, or 3 games in 8 days, home, away, home. I think you would take home, draw, home in that regard. Mm-hmm. But I would not be shocked if the Rapids win this one, given that St. Louis has just 1 win in their past 9. And I think they lost over the weekend 2-0 to Portland, which was no bueno. Brayden, what do you got?
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. I think a draw is probably what we're looking at. which I think Chris Armas would say is disappointing, just given the way that St. Louis has played. But in the grand scheme of things, you look at a three-game week, two of them are at home, you'd be okay with a draw on the road.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anything else that we want to say about St. Louis, Braden, or shall we move on to CF Montreal?
Okay, at what point are we going to, and I'm not dogging on anybody because I'm still doing this too, but at what point do we stop saying, oh, this is something that the Rapids are already better than at this point than they were last season? so we mentioned we're already at more away wins and home wins than last season. We're at more goals already. Mm-hmm. So what else still is there, just so we can keep track of that?
That's a good question. Well, I think the obvious one, you know, Will and Marco were not good from a shot stopping standpoint. So do we see, I can't remember if that post shot XG stat that I keep quoting, Braden, is cumulative or like on a per 90 beta basis. Mm. So we could go back and look at that. But I think it's a good question, Braden. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll say this. I will consciously start recognizing when I'm comparing this team to last year. If the Rapids win tomorrow and then get more points, you know, 19 games into the season than they had all of last season, I will now be more conscious of recognizing when I compare last year's team to this year's team, and I will interrupt that cognitive dissonance in order to acknowledge that this team is completely different and we should move on. This will be like the Brain, you weren't covering MLS at the time, but this was a couple years ago, I think. Daniel Shallowy, DP, or not a DP, Hungarian striker for Sporting Kansas City, had a notorious, like, terrible finishing year one season, and then he opened up next season absolutely on a tear. He scored in the season opener, I think he scored the first goal of SKC season, and then he got a hat trick like a month into the season. And then at one point, you know, it just got, he got tired of people asking the question of like the, you know, oh, like, what do you think about this compared to where you were last year? That's probably how, you know, Cole Bassett maybe feels about some of his finishing, or it's certainly where Chris Armas is going to feel about people asking about Navajo, if Navajo scores tomorrow. But so there was a point where Daniel Shallowy like interrupted the reporter and just straight up said, like, guys, last year, it's dead. It's over. I've moved on from it and everything. Don't ask me about last year. I'm playing great. I'm having fun playing great. This doesn't need to exist in the context of what happened last year. So I will say, I am prepared to pick up the shovel to start burying the 2023 Colorado Rapids season when the Rapids win tomorrow against St. Louis 1-0 off of a Rafael Navajo goal to then get more points than they did all of last season. With that, there, listeners, this Saturday, June 22nd, the summer solstice, if I'm not mistaken, I might have that wrong. I don't have my calendar.
21st in front of me. The 21st. Solstice.
Okay, the Friday is the summer solstice. Colorado Rapids will be taking on CF Montreal, Georgi Mihailovic's former team. Montreal mm-hmm. currently sit 12th in the Eastern Conference. They have 18 points off of 17 games played, a record of 4-7-6, a goal difference of minus 12, and on the road this season, they are 2-5-3, though it's worth pointing out, listeners, that Montreal, again, like they have in the past, had a long road trip to start the season. So they started that season, they started the season on the road for a bunch of games, and I think they won two of their first three. So since that road trip, since their home opener back at Saputo Stadium, they've played four games on the road. They have two losses and two draws, so they've been less good. Braden, I know you don't follow the Eastern Conference teams as much. There would have been, in years past, normally Rapids fans almost have like a soft spot for CF Montreal. You know, they're geographically isolated. Nobody thinks about them. They play really hard soccer and they don't have as much money to spend. They also typically lose to their more funded local rival who usually wears red. So that's Toronto FC. But so their front office is in absolute turmoil. They've had changeover in terms of what's going on at the FO level. And this is just typical of, I'm trying to think, Braden, who would be like the NBA equivalent of like Joey Saputo. I guess maybe there's a similar volatility, super available on Twitter, talks more than he should, and occasionally says crazy stuff that gets him in trouble. So there's maybe some comparisons to James Dolan. To my knowledge, Joey Saputo isn't having, like, you know, facial recognition technology to then identify fans who are then talking crap about the Impact on social media. But so Joey Saputo's a hothead. There's turnover in the team right now. Laurent Simon took this job off of what he did in the Montreal Academy as a former player for Montreal, and then he was with Columbus Crew 2, so he was a Montreal guy, but then kind of was hitching a ride on the coattails of Wilfred Nancy going to Columbus, parlayed that into an MLS coaching job, his first head coaching job, big deal for him. And he's kind of sitting around with a bunch of players, and they only have one designated player. It's Victor Wanyama, who actually played over the weekend. He has been notoriously hurt his entire time with CF Montreal. And so I don't know what to make of this team. They normally play in a 3-4-2-1, which is a weird shape, but they kind of make it work, but they also don't finish. Waterman's their main center back in the back. Listeners, you will remember Ruan, the Brazilian outside back, who has normally torched the Rapids for Orlando City. He's now with CF Montreal. Wanyama's back. He's normally in an 8 doing midfielder stuff. And then maybe the one attacker of note for me this season, Brayden, was Bryce Duke, who I thought Montreal did some really good business with the former general manager who just left the club in acquiring him. There's a player formerly from Minnesota United, Mason Toy, who I know myself and Warners really wanted the Rapids to go after, that seemed like a perfect Kellen Acosta, Kevin Cabral style distressed assets FC acquisition. And he was really, really great in previous years with Montreal, but he's been on the bench. I don't know if he's been hurt. I don't know if Laurent Simon doesn't rate him or he doesn't fit the system, but he's played about 300 minutes this season. He has one goal, no assists. So there's really no attacker that I really fear on this. For this game, Brayden, and given that, you know, both teams are playing midweek, Montreal is going to log a lot of miles coming this far west at altitude. They haven't been to Dick's Morning Goods Park in a while. Georgi Mihailovic's first game against his former team as well. Curse of the commentator. I think this should be a comfortable win and a dominating performance for the Rapids, unless all hell breaks loose tomorrow night for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that too. I think that should happen. I'll go ahead and say it, and like you said, commentator's curse. When's the last time the Rapids scored 4 goals?
When is the last time the Rapids scored 4 goals? I will look that up. Keep talking.
Okay. Oh, it's been a long time, and that is the point. That probably needs to happen. The formation and the personnel of Montreal is tailor-made for booking it up the wings with Calvin Harris and Kevin Cabral. And I think it shouldn't be tough to get chances. It's just a matter of finishing them, which it always is with the Rapids, I guess.
I'm going to look this up. I know there was the 5-4 against Red Bulls. That was the one win in 2022. It might be that game.
I think it was that.
Or is there something more recently after that? Aha! The Colorado Rapids defeated Minnesota United the very next game, so August 6, 2022, by a score of 4-3 at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. It was a Jossy Zardes hat trick in an hour, and they beat Minnesota United. So let's see. It was Zardes in the 7th, 15th, and 61st minute, and then Rubio scored in the 11th. So, and Minnesota scored 2 first half goals as well. So it was 3-2 at halftime. It was 3-1 in the 15th minute, Brayden. I'm remembering that game now. That was absolutely crazy. God. Robin must have been so happy, but also exhausted after that game. In any case, so okay. It has been, so we're going on what? 2 months short of 2 years since the Rapids scored 4 or more goals. So I think that's certainly a possibility. I think the main thing, Brayden, I think Armas, we've seen him be a little bit more conservative in road games, particularly when there's been some fixture congestion. So I think they'll set up a little bit more conservatively, but I would expect them to set up as they did against FC Dallas on that cold game on sustainability night a few months ago. Attack Austin the exact same way attack Montreal the exact same way that you attacked Austin. And I think the key thing for them in terms of what they did against Rubio, mostly with the two center backs, I think they do in the midfield with Victor Wanyama. I have to imagine we see at least 45 minutes from Ollie LaRoz or Jasper Lofelson in these next two games. So the key thing that I would want is I want Ronan fresh to the point where he could just make Wanyama's life absolutely miserable. And we're going to have a very similar midfield setup here, Braden, to the namesake of holding the high line from 2016, where it was Michael Azira running, taking the ball off of the much more skilled, much more expensive DP number 10 for the opponent, poking it to Sam Cronin, and then Sam Cronin it, passing it to get out. But so I think a comfortable, I'll say 2-0 just to be conservative in this one. And I'll say this is where we get the Rafael Navajo goal. So I actually haven't done score lines here, Braden. I'll take 1-1 in against St. Louis. I think the Rapids score on a set piece. I'll say it'll be one of the center backs. I think Lawless opens his account or we get a goal from Maxu. I guess Joao Klaus or Leuven would be the obvious pick if we're going with who's scoring a St. Louis goal. And then I will go 2-0 against Minnesota, and I will say it's Georgian Hafa. What say you?
Give me a scoreless draw. I'm sorry, it's boring, but the Rapids are due for a 0-0 draw. I'm sorry. At St. Louis against Montreal, give me 3-1 to the Rapids. I know I already said that the Rapids should score 4, but it's a short week. It's a 3-game week. I can say I want it to happen all I want, but will it ever happen? You never know. But I think we got goals from Hafa. Let's say I like Connor to open his account or not open his account. Has he scored yet?
That's a good question. I do not think he scored for the Rapids yet.
Yeah.
Did he take a penalty last year? I think he hasn't scored this year.
He scored on a penalty. Yes. Yeah. Open his account for this year. And then who else? Kevin gets one too.
Okay. And I'll say, because I've really liked what he's done as well, Braden, and I don't know that the numbers in terms of goal contributions haven't borne it out as well. I'll say that Omer Fernandez gets an assist this week as well. So that'll be, I think it'll be 1 goal and 5 assists now. Probably. I think that's it. Anything else you want to say, Braden? I'll give you the last word.
No, yeah, nothing for me. Just thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So listeners, you can follow us collectively on Twitter at Braden Norris, at LWS Matt Pollard. Check out all of Holding the High Line's content at our Substack, holdingthehighline.substack.com. You can check out Braden's work at the Denver Post, Rapids related. And Braden, are you doing any prep stuff in the summer, or does that go quiet?
It goes pretty quiet over the summer. I usually just help out with like state championships and stuff. Not many state championships when school is not in session. So,
okay. So I guess we'll wait for a high school football season, I suppose. And I'll ask you about like which 3-star is signing with CSU or what that looks like. And certainly, isn't it, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Colorado State, isn't that going to be at Canvas this upcoming fall?
It is. Yep.
Okay.
September 20th or something like that. Yep.
Okay, so looking forward to that. Go Rams in the context of this podcast, certainly. No, Rabbi Rams. And I didn't go to see you, so we don't care. Okay. listeners, follow us, follow HTHL on the socials at Rapids96 Podcast. We're on Facebook. Rabbi is 10 years late to us being on Facebook, so check us out there. Rate, review, share, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're on pretty much any podcatcher you would want us to be on. And send us your questions via email at rapids96podcast@gmail.com. Listeners, we'll see you next week after hopefully a 4-point week for the Colorado Rapids. Peace.